by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I will tell you something, we have been here before. Now the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Right. What's going on, gang? WineCellarMedia.com, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, the Black Podcast with Phoenix Kalita and William J. Jackson. Phoenix Kalita, the uppity negress on the Twitters. William J. Jack on Twitter, if you dare follow it. I barely tweet. I think I do maybe like 7 retweets a week of other people's tweets. I rarely tweet on the Twitter. Now, alright, WineCellarMedia.com. We gotta get things cracking back on the normal status again. Now, some stuff we had just piled up, backed up show notes and news notes. So just getting into like some stuff that Phoenix Kalita had up here. That like this one, meanwhile in Florida, this is coming off of MSN.com. A Florida teacher arrested after she threatened to blow everyone up at school. Becky Lives Matter. A Florida woman has been arrested for posting on Facebook she was going to blow everyone up during an elementary school teacher planning day. Her name is Christina Marie Maddox, a 33-year-old individual of a land of Yulee. Yulee. If you're in Yulee and you run into Christina Marie Maddox, M-A-D-D-O-X, she's probably dangerous. She allegedly posted the statement Tuesday night and now faces a felony charge of written threats to kill. This is a quote. They have been teaching. They have teaching planning day tomorrow. And I'll def be there going to blow everyone up, end quote. Maddox was contacted by the Nassau County Sheriff's Office and arrested the next day. She reportedly told the police fellers that the post was taken out of context and she had no intentions to hurt anyone. I don't know. They got the picture here up at the website. Phoenix Kalita has it in the Wine Cellar Podcast Friends Group. And looks like the face of terrorism to me in McMurka. Very similar face to all the other faces of terrorism. Good thing she didn't have a beer bottle, right? Good thing.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
All right. Now, this outlet, let's take another look at that. The outlet is SFGN, South Florida Gay News, and they picked up a story from pinknews.co.uk. that there was, the wording is very simplistic. It says a shooting at a transgender club has left one person injured, right? And the title on pinknews.com, pinknews.co.uk is, shooting at transgender club shocks community. And the title that South Florida Gay News has is Las Vegas Transgender Club Attacked by Shooter. Like transgender club, it's like such isolating language, right? Like, I don't know, like if I was a journalizing journalist that journalates things, I'd probably go with like a club that is that attempts to be a safe space for transgender folks or non-conforming folks and you know, non-binary folks, you know, something along those lines. But the story is as follows. It's called the Las Vegas Lounge, and it's one of the few specifically trans clubs in the U.S. was shot at multiple times in the early hours of February 23rd. So, I mean, here we are on fucking March 25th. Kind of missed this one, didn't we? Now, the attacker left one club goer with a gunshot wound to the leg. You see, and that's the thing, right? These, it's become a competition with the shootings, right? They don't, like, shootings are relevant by body count now. And I think you've got to get double digits. Double digits in murders is where you start hitting some news. It's that's where shit is. Now, the police fellers have said that the shooter approached the club on foot and fired at the building from outside. Jennifer Haley, the general manager of the lounge, wrote on the Facebooks that, quote, "There was no altercation. There was no interaction whatsoever with the suspect," end quote. She also added, quote, "Unfortunately, one of our girls was injured by law enforcement." Let's start that quote over again. Quote, "Unfortunately, one of our girls was injured." Oh, not by, but. Okay. "But law enforcement assured us she will make a full recovery." End quote. And looks like there's a shot of a Facebook post here from the general manager, Jennifer Haley, said, wait a second. Yeah, get myself together. Yeah, oh, say, a screenshot of a Facebook post by Jennifer Haley, general manager, says, "So as some of you may have heard, there was a shooting this morning at the bar. Contrary to what you may have heard on the news, there was no altercation, there was no interaction whatsoever with the suspect. We are fully cooperating with law enforcement, which, through investigation, are treating this as a random act of violence. Unfortunately, one of our girls was injured, but law enforcement assured us she will make a full recovery. We have had many trying times through the years, and though we may bend, we will not be broken by this. We are still open for business, and we are still proud to serve the community. Thank you for your continued support." End quote from the Facebook post. Now, this is, however, she did tell the station, KWUTV, that it was, quote, "scary," end quote, to see her club, which has served the Las Vegas, trans community for 19 years, be the target of a shooting. Her final quote is, "Your gut instinct is that this is a hate crime, but you just don't know," end quote. I would just, fucking around with the old logic there, I'd lean toward it being a hate crime. Indeedly do I would.
I tell you, I think the racist garbage coming from the a lot of blacks right now who are just filled with bitterness and rage is just amazing to me. It is racism.
All right, man, let's take a look here. Minneapolis. I think you know the story. A cop, police officer feller, shot somebody and they died. The person that got shot, they were calling 911 to report a possible sexual assault in the alley behind their home. And the when the cop got there, I mean, you know what cops do, they shoot people. But this here person that got shot was Justine Ruzick Damond, a white cis woman, 40-year-old life coach. And the feller that shot her was Muhammad Noor. You may have seen his mugshot. Muhammad is a little melanified, a bit colored about the skin. And the story's been playing out, and I'm pretty sure a lot of black podcasters and content creators have been interested in how obvious it was going to end. And so he's been on paid administrative leave for it. He said, "I'm sorry to Damon's friends and family. And I know those words won't bring Justine back, but I want you to know that I am deeply saddened and truly sorry for her death and for your tragic loss." End quote from Muhammad. Now, right now, it is said by the police chief that there's no law to prevent some officers from being charged unless they are unacceptably reckless. Now, they say that Muhammad Noor, Muhammad Brown feller, a little wide about the nostril, quote, "He violated the rules and deserves to be charged," end quote. Unlike Daniel Pantaleo, where the New York cops weren't supposed to be using the chokehold, he did not violate the rules. You see, because the rules is you kill Necros, not the vessel from which more white men and school shooters may be conceived and born. You don't kill that vessel because we need those school shooters. They're very important. Population control and whatnot. Now, a criminal complaint unsealed on Tuesday afternoon states that there is no evidence that Muhammad Noor justified his decision to use deadly force, and instead he recklessly fired his handgun. The charges accuse Mr. Muhammad Noor, checking on these cats, accuse Muhammad Noor of third-degree murder for perpetrating an imminently dangerous act while showing a, quote, depraved mind. He has a depraved mind. And that lad, what was he, 22 years old, got shot in Sacramento, 20 bullets. 20 bullets. And come on, like, we're so used to hearing about it, you know, and seeing, and we see a lot of this shit, like, in fucking movies and shit. But, like, nigga, bullets are hot metal things. 20 of them in the same body in one setting. But, it is this Muhammad, a little circular about the nostril, a little almond shaped around the eye, very brown, very dark brown color in the eye, very, very big fried chicken eating lips on this here feller. Something different about him that makes him have a depraved mind, but not them fellers that put 51 of these bullets in Sean Bell. 51 in one body in one setting. Like, go down to a Walmart or wherever it is that you get bullets and shit, and just look at bullets and think about 51 of those fothermuckers hot out the barrel, popping into one body in one setting on purpose. But it's this here Muhammad, this here Muhammad, this fella that looks a little Africanized about the features, it's him that is be of a depraved mind. Them big old Kool-Aid drinking lips on that fella right there. Now, the officers did not turn on their body cameras until after the shooting, and there was no squad camera video of the incident. The lack of video was widely criticized, and Becky's family members were among the many people who called for the charges, who called for changes in procedure, including how often officers are required to turn on their cameras. The shooting also prompted questions about the training of Muhammad, a 2-year veteran and a Somali American. I like how they're saying Somali and not African. You ain't slick, nickel. A Somali American whose arrival on the force had been celebrated by city leaders in Minnesota's large Somali community. He is a 32-year-old individual and had trained in business and economics and worked in property management before becoming an officer. Then, at that time, the chief, Janie Hartow, defended Muhammad's training and said he was suited to be on the street, even as she criticized the shooting itself. But Hartow, who was on vacation when the shooting happened and didn't make her first public appearance until several days after the shooting, was forced out soon by Mayor Betsy Hodges. I wonder if Betsy has anything in common with Becky. We're talking about the dead Becky here. All right. Yeah, nobody black is surprised. We just watched with great amusement. Where's this one gonna go?
Jesus, it was a
hypermasculine homosexual.
Jesus, it was a
hypermasculine homosexual.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right.
All right, now again, piled up show notes. This is one of the ones that Phoenix Kalita shared with us. And, you know, I've seen other ones. I didn't dig into reading a whole lot of these. Like, this one says, the world's biggest floating garbage dump is now bigger than Alaska. And I think I saw another one. It was like, there's three times the size of France. You know, like, I think at some point, you know, I remember, in 2010, 11, it was like, it bigger than Texas. And it's just like, let's just start saying they're big as fuck. Can we just go with big as fuck? I think big as fuck is a unit of measurement that many understand. Is walking to and just be like, dude, there's a pile of garbage in the ocean and it's big as fuck. And they say, really? That big? Yeah, big as fuck. And then, you know, you kind of hold your arms out to do the as fuck gesticulation. And they understand. All right, now, there's something real interesting in this article. This is coming off Fortune.com, and it's put up by David Meyer, March 23rd, 2018. The enormous accumulation of garbage floating in the North Pacific is now estimated to be bigger than Alaska, Alaskinio. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch, GPGP, was first noted in the late 1980s. In the late 1980s. So when I was 5 and 6 years old, I always heard about, like, I don't know the other motherfuckers that were around at that time. I always heard about the ozone layer. You know, did a little bit of that, a little bit of global warming here and there. You know, or like you see like an episode of The Simpsons where they, you know, they use that platform to point at the corporate motherfuckers that buy off the politicians to pollute a river and a lake here and there. I never heard jack shit about the fucking garbage patch. So apparently this motherfucker's been new and didn't tell us a dat gum of nothing. All right, so since the late 1980s, so it's far from new, really. However, the latest estimate of its size published Thursday is between 4 and 16 times larger than previous reports, a whopping 1.6 million square kilometers. All right, just taking a look at the cats there, checking them. We can't have more kittens while we're trying to move. The kittens that we have now, this is what we can handle. All right, so 1.6 million square kilometers, or 617,763 square motherfuck damn miles, or by Williamaic, Wine-Cellarenic metrics, big as fuck. The increase is partly down to better surveying techniques, but also more garbage being in the patch. Just more garbage. So just, I guess there's just something in the ocean current that just kind of attracts the floaty floaters over there. By way of comparison, Alaska, the largest state in the U.S., is only 570,641 square miles. The trash vortex is bigger than countries such as Mongolia and Iran, both of which are pretty large. See, my nigga David Meyer fucking simplified a little. He didn't go big as fuck. He's writing for Fortune. I understand, but pretty large. People understand that. Hey, how big is it? Fucking big. According to the nonprofit organization Ocean Cleanup, whose founder Boyan Slat led the latest research. Now, there's at least 79,000 motherfuck damn tons. 79,000 tons. Like, you ever see those signs on roads or parking lots where they're like, hey man, we got a 2-ton limit if you're delivering goods or whatnot to this here area. 2-ton limit. This has 79,000 fuck 'em damn tons. So I mean, if we were the type of rounding folks that rounded things in a very round way, we'd call it 80,000, which would be 40,000 trucks that just hit the limit to enter that parking lot. 40 motherfuck damn thousand of those trucks. Imagine 40,000 trucks full of fucking Cheez-Its or whatever the fuck you eat floating in the ocean. Yep. All right. Now, 79,000 tons of plastic in the GPGP, which lies between California and Hawaii. Now, most of the pieces in there are microplastics, those tiny particles of plastic that seem to be in most bottled water these days. So I drank it, which, and you know, the funny thing is, I drink bottled water because the mayor where I live, David L. Brummel, that fuckface, and his shitty council, I mean city council, they said, we can save money by making people drink mineral hard water. And my body does not react to that shit well. So I get the purified bottled water. And so I guess I handle plastic particles better than I handle mineral hard water. You know, that shit that fucking stains your sink and shit. All right, dub-a-doot, skip-bop, flibbity-doot, bop-a-doo. Said, the tiny particles of plastic seem to be in most bottled water these days, but they only make up for 8% of the total estimated mass of the patch. By contrast, at least 46% of the garbage patch mass is made up of fishing nets. There's a lot of other debris in there too, and as much as 20% of it is thought to come from the 2011 Japanese tsunami. Damn, so that didn't help. Now, all this trash is gathering together in the North Pacific Gyre, the largest system of the circulating ocean currents on the planet. The international team of researchers modeled the GPGP through surveys from the air and the sea over the last 3 years. I think they should get a fucking, they got the technology, right? Get a little money together, get their hands on a fucking submarine, and go under the motherfucker. See what's going on the underside. You know, get some high-powered flashlights, cameras, do what you gotta do. Get a fucking scuba diver and proceed to scoob. Scooby-dooby-doo, where are you? All right, let's take a fucking look here. This here is a quote from Mr. Slat, who led that research team. To be able to solve a problem, we believe it is essential to first understand it. These results provide us with key data to develop and test our cleanup technology, but it also underlines the urgency of dealing with the plastic pollution problem. Since the results indicate that the amount of hazardous microplastics is set to increase more than tenfold if left to fragment, the time to start is now. End quote.
And they've created a giant army of mentally ill cultists who want race war in this country. They're a bunch of mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people trying to bully and whip mainly black folks and Hispanics into hating white people.
All right, so now, Alex Jones has a Joydian slip. We call it a Joydian slip instead of a Freudian slip because one time Joyanne Reed on MSNBC accidentally told the truth. So now we call it a Joydian slip. And Alex Jones had one. I was playing his March 23rd episode of the InfoWars. I try to, get as much of that stuff in as I can when I can because I can't listen to podcasts all the fuck long day anymore with the way my job goes now. I always have fucking, I'm trying to get fucking promoted. So I'm always in managers' faces. They're always in my faces. I have five of them. And I'm interacting with management directly way too much to be listening to podcasts all day. You're not supposed to have headphones on the factory floor. That's a no-go. But like if you're, what I was doing when I first got with the company, just standing at a conveyor belt putting boxes in boxes, then you're fucking one of like 98 people and nobody gives a shit. No one is paying a fuck damn worth of attention to you, especially when you're doing what I was doing, typically at the end of the conveyor belt putting the boxes on the pallet. No one paid a fuck off of attention to me, but now all the fuck damn time. So I play it when I can and find the shit that he says, and he had himself a little whoopsie-daisy on this one where he's talking about the Trump administration and people getting hired and fired and the whole reality show there. And then he says something that I say, that Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio says about this whole thing that we call McMurica.
He says Bolton is an apparatchik. And that means he will follow Trump's orders and will not leak and is dog-like in his loyalty. So that's the case, even though I disagree with some of Boyle's views, then I trust the president.
And just remember all the guys like Joe Rogan and all those motherfuckers like fucking acting like Alex Jones is this fucking hardcore fucking man. Like, nigga, Alex Jones bows to power just like the rest of these fucking hacks. All right, he just happens to be a John Bircher about it.
But the president, brought some good people in. He's brought some bad people in. That's why Trump said you're going to see a lot of hiring and a lot of firing during the campaign. He said, I'm going to go through a lot of people till we get the best team. That's what corporations and companies do.
Whoa. What did he say about how he's going to run America?
Till we get the best team. That's what corporations and companies do. Corporations and companies do. Corporations and companies do. Corporations and companies do.
And that's why I call America a fucking a corporate state. Scotty Reed calls it USA Inc. And he calls the president the temporary CEO. That's what the hell it is. This ain't nothing but a big old business. That's why the Europeans, because I think what them Viking niggas, whoever the fuck they, them Eastern niggas, they came over here and then they just, rape here, pillage there, and then went back home and had a beer. But when them British niggas came over here, they were, and them Italian niggas and them Spanish niggas, by Spanish I mean Spain, when them niggas came over, they came over seeking profit. Like, that's why Christopher Columbus, old goofy ass, non-navigating ass, don't know where the fuck he's going, crashing up on the wrong shore, stinking ass, walking under an awning, funky motherfucker, came over here because he wanted to get big money dollars. And when he met the people and saw how kind and friendly they were, he saw that as naive, went back home to the cuisine and said, Miss Ma'am, I can subjugate these people. I think he said if you just give me 50 men, I think he just wanted 50. Yeah, it was just 50 motherfuckers to come with him. And he's got it on lock with the Taino folks. All right. Tangent. WineCellarMedia.com. Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice. Check out the homies over at Actify Press. And go on the YouTube, subscribe to Actify Chat. Their shit's really fucking dope. I think that nigga on Twitter is the Fiends Cleaters over here. Is that the Swarthy Temptress on Twitter? The Swarthy Temptress. We think she's black, right? That's okay. I think she's black. I don't know. We don't know. And you can't just. Well, I'm just like, nigga, you black. Nigga, you look black. Like one of them yeller fellers. I don't know. But follow them niggas. Their shit's dope. They recently had a 2-part interview with Beth Lynch. And Beth Lynch kicked some dope shit. Beth Lynch said some ill shit. She was like, nigga, part of why Hillary Clinton didn't get, you know, heavy support. I wouldn't say why Hillary Clinton lost, because Hillary Clinton lost because the Electoral College picks, not the people. And the fucking, but why Hillary Clinton, people weren't excited because she actually was honest on some shit. Like, what Beth Lynch was talking about was Hillary Clinton was basically ran a campaign of, no, I ain't giving you this. No, I ain't giving you that. Nope, I ain't even gonna fight for that shit. Nigga, that's not practical. Go fuck yourself. Single payer will never happen. That's a verbatim quote from Hillary Clinton. It will never happen. Those two words in particular, the verbatim quote, never happen in regards to single payer. And she said that shit, you know, like they call it full throated, never happen. Fuck off. and what? I forgot what she said about like Sanders supporters. Like she said that they were just living in their mom's basement and shit. And it's like, well, there's your class critique right there. Whoops. Joydian slip. Like, yeah, man. Fucking, Clinton was a little too fucking honest. You know, fucking Barry Hussein. He went out there and kicked that fake leftist populism. Donald Trump came out and kicked that fake right-wing populism. They're not actually populist. Trump's a corporatist like a motherfucker. Like, that's why you like him. They're fans of him because he's the guy that fired your parents. He made a show about it. The nigga made a show about taking your jobs from you and then came and fooled your silly ass into thinking he was gonna save your motherfucking job, nigga. All right, tangent over.
Homophobes tend to have the gayest thoughts.
Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit biting Phoenix. Try to be Finn, we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make your soul sizzle. And I attack them with the fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the heel top, so I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestapedia. For now, I gotta deal with the social media. Different day, but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the clan?
Something about you was seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.
Now all these new school kids on the digital stage, you're pantering a circle cause you're sitting afraid. You don't say what you really think all at a time. You pay attention to the trend and you follow the line. Now you can't even tell that you're rolling with busters. Don't go with the crowd, homie, go with the justice. Keep it consistent, even when it gets a little backlash, even resistance. Popularity responds to gravity. What goes up comes down quite rapidly. So don't be popular, don't be fashionable, just be honest, cause that's admirable. Now I have to go right about the dough. But just one more thing that you should know. Despite Occam's razor, I kinda like people, even when I have to tell them that I'm trilingual.
Something about you was seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
I don't know. What? Because you want to put it on YouTube, try and act hard because I called him a racist? Because he's a racist, ignorant nigger? He's a racist fucking nigger?
Becky, lives matter a great deal. All right, so this is coming off of a Deadspin.com. It got linked from TheRoot.com. I try not to fuck with The Root. The Root, what they typically do is their articles are actually commentary on actual articles, and what they'll have is a link to the original article. So Michael Harriet from TheRoot.com linked over to Tom Lay of Deadspin.com. And it's a former Hawks employee sues team for discriminating against hot people. All right, Margot Klein, formerly a community development coordinator for the Atlanta Hawks, which is some sort of sports. Going by the image on this in this article on the website, they play the basketball. So they like to shoot hoops. They like to perform the behind the back pass, one might assume. Maybe they do a layup here and there. I've heard that they take an interest in the free throw, and they like to bust a J. I am not a fan of the basketball. All right, now Margot Klein, formerly with the Atlanta Hawks, has filed a lawsuit against the team in which she claims she was discriminated against because of her race and gender. Now, in the suit, Margot Klein, Becky Lives Matter, specifically accuses David Lee, a black, negrofied, colored, Napa-headed man who supervised her. She accuses him of promoting a, quote, culture of discrimination against white individuals, end quote. The suit includes a list of non-specific examples of Lee's alleged discriminatory practices. And this is like a, I guess they call it a PDF style file that is inserted into the article. And this is the list with the bullet points. As Director of External Affairs, Mr. Lee promoted a culture of discrimination against white individuals. He further discriminated against the plaintiff because she is a female. His discriminatory actions included, but were not limited to, bullets are as follows. Being dismissive and exclusionary toward white employees, especially white females, including plaintiff. Making jokes about white culture. Making it clear that he wanted to hire black individuals and did not want to hire white females for positions opening up in his department. Expecting and requiring more of white individuals, especially white females, than black individuals in the department. Promoting and hiring less qualified black individuals over white individuals, especially white females, and more readily and quickly offering raises and promotions to black individuals and males. So let's go back to that. Promoting and hiring less qualified black individuals, that one, I think that intersects quite nicely with this one here, the one right ahead of it. Expecting and requiring more of white individuals. Now, that privilege is too easy of a word to throw out there. This is a perception issue. You know, like at the last company I worked for, there was a racist white supremacist from Alabama, which, you know, that kind of makes it a little more obvious than the typical one you might catch walking around some other place. But this cat is from Alabama and lived in Florida. And there was a job position for morning cats, and the morning cat kind of worked behind me. I was inventory guy. And then this cat came in and worked with some of the inventory that I bought in. And his job was a short job, but it did have a specific time to it. And he was really fast at it. So he'd basically knock it out and then have like 90 minutes to spare. And that white supremacist could not stand that he got it done that fast. And then so he would just be like, well, go over here and do this. And he's like, but I'm not trained to do that. Can you train me to do that other task? And then I will do that task. Ah, you're being lazy. How's he being lazy? Just because he's really fast and good. You see, but now, because the thing is, to a white supremacist like that, a black body has to always be in motion. A black body can never be at rest. And this is a black male body at that. Probably like, I'm just going to throw out maybe 6 feet, 1 inches, maybe 6 foot two. Very tall young man. So this is a big black body that is not working. And that white man could not fucking stand that shit. But the problem is, the work that he was assigned to do was already done. So that cat would just come and riff with me about, you know, some Lefty McLefterson shit, you know, for 90 minutes. And he could not fucking handle it. And that's this white supremacist woman right here, this Becky right here, the exact same thing. Like, she just sees black people and she sees them as, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're lifting, pushing, pulling, writing, they're doing it the lazy way, even if they are doing it. You know, like, what? Like, that's like how Barry Hussein took less vacations than his predecessor. But god damn it, he's fucking lazy taking those less vacations. And that's just how they fucking see it. And they inherently see the white people as doing more. And a lot of it has to do with that just being the propaganda that they were fed. I mean, it's, hell, if you had the same folk songs in your elementary school that we had, you know, with the whole, when I first came to this land, I was not a wealthy man. Then I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, you know, like, that's what they've taught themselves. And, you know, I always think that there's a portion of them that know it's a lie and a portion that they fucking fell for it. And I don't have the kind of funding to where I can actually conduct a study and get real numbers on that assumption. Continuing with the article from Deadspin.com, linked from TheRoot.com by Tom Lay, the lawsuit also contains a very strange anecdote about a lunch meeting that Margot Klein, Becky, had with Nzinga Shaw, a black woman who is the Hawks' chief diversity and inclusion officer, according to the suit. Margot Klein and Nzinga Shaw had the had this conversation during lunch. Now this is just something that a white woman is claiming, so probably a lie. All right. Now at that lunch, plaintiff shared her ongoing concerns about the inappropriate and discriminatory behavior she was experiencing and witnessing. Among other things, she reminded Ms. Shaw of a group discussion a few days prior in which Ms. Shaw showed plaintiff and Mr. Lee a picture of a political campaign at a local HBCU, historically black college and university, saying, quote, look at this, they have a group called Blacks for Trump, end quote. Mr. Lee stated that he refused to believe it and, quote, it was probably just a bunch of white people in blackface, end quote. Although Ms. Nzinga Shaw laughed at the comment at the time, after the lunch on February 3rd, 2017, Ms. Shaw told the plaintiff that Mr. Lee's comments were ignorant and said, quote, that could be a lawsuit. Remember, this is just something that a white woman is saying. And also, if that black woman actually did say that, she's probably just placating your white ass so you shut the fuck up. We do that with you a lot, everywhere, at work, when you're doing my taxes, fucking grocery store line. We placate you so you shut the fuck up, and also, like, hoping that you don't kill us. You do that pretty often at random, 20 bullets in one body. That's just how you behave. All right, now, continuing on. According to the suit, the lunch was followed by Margot Klein being called into a meeting with Ms. Shaw and an HR rep, human resources. The suit makes sure to point out that the HR rep is also a black woman and was informed that she was being put on a final written warning, end quote, due to, quote, ongoing deficiencies in her conduct and or performance, end quote. 3 weeks later, Margot Klein was fired. And they have another embedded PDF file where you can actually read the lawsuit on Deadspin.com article put up by Tom Lay. All right. Becky Lives Matter.
We believe trans lives matter because they are part of our communities. They are activists.
They are citizens and deserve protection under the law.
They challenge the binary.
They have the courage to be who they are.
We believe that trans lives matter because they are our supporters.
Our teachers.
Our students.
Our leaders.
We believe that trans lives matter because they are our families.
Our neighbors.
Our friends.
Our loved ones.
We believe trans lives matter because they laugh with us.
They cry with us.
They worship with us.
They are all of us.
We believe trans lives matter because they are our hope.
They are our future.
We have a right to exist.
All right, now we're swinging it back on over to pinknews.co.uk. Article put up by, check my glaucoma here, Mika Beersford. That could be Beresford, but maybe it's Beersford. All right, so this on pinknews.co.uk. Trans teenager penned a heartbreaking letter before killing herself. A transgender teenager who killed herself penned a heartbreaking letter to her family before doing so. This individual's name was Hope Verbeek. I don't know if that's dead. You know what? I don't think that this website would dead name these niggas. Hope Verbeek, a 17-year-old individual, took her life earlier this month on March 6th. She came out as transgender nearly 15 months ago, but for a long time she struggled with her gender identity. She was also coming to grips with being a pansexual person. Speaking to the outlet, the Miami Herald, we are all too familiar. Her mother, Patricia, explained that her daughter felt like she was, quote, trapped in a box, end quote, by her identity. However, her parents insist that they always tried to provide the utmost support with Patricia, once telling her daughter, quote, I don't want to tell you what to do or think you should do. You tell me the journey you want to take, end quote. After coming out, she began hormone replacement therapy and having therapy sessions. I mean, kind of like when people say, you know, black people should get a black therapist if you're going to do therapy. Like, I don't know, man. Like, should the trans homies have, like, non-binary niggas as therapist or another trans nigger? You know, like, I don't think a cis nigga really understand a trans nigga like that. Maybe not. I don't know. However, Hope made the decision to take her life. Continuing with the article. She wrote in a heartbreaking letter, quote, Dear Mama and Papa, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I have killed myself by jumping off the top floor. I can no longer live my life as a lie. I'm sorry I lied to you. I was losing hope in the world and could not see any way out of the wrong body. So I decided it was time for my life to end, end quote. Hope wrote that she wanted to be remembered, quote, as a transgender, pansexual teenage girl named Hope. Being transgender is my gender identity. My sexual orientation or sexual identity is being pansexual, meaning that I do not care about what the person is. I care about who they are. Sexual orientation is who you go to bed with, and gender identity is who you go to bed as, end quote. Despite explicitly stating, excuse me, despite explicitly stating that they wish to be remembered as a trans woman called Hope, a number of media outlets have misgendered her and used her dead name. Continuing, Patricia said that she spoke with her child the night before she took her life, and she told Patricia that she was once again feeling trapped. She also said that she believed her child wasn't bullied. That's a quote. The quote is, wasn't bullied. Nigga, were you at school every day? Or, you know, wherever the fucking nigga going? You know, down at the, you know, shopping mall. You know, you're 17. You know, you can, you know, you can have a job and you can go do stuff and things on your own. You don't know. And that's a very happy assumption. This is another quote from Patricia. Everybody we talked with, no one would have guessed, end quote. They would have guessed that she was trans. That's not very clear. In a moving message she's given to other parents, Patricia earned them to not slam the door on your son or daughter if they come and express a sexual identity issue. I would want them to know to open their hearts, minds, and souls to accepting this unique situation that their son or daughter may be expressing and experiencing, because it would be the biggest gift they could give. It's not, the quote is continuing, it's not about money or the next gadget, but to accept love and embrace who your son or daughter is telling you that they are. Expand the space in your heart to support and to provide every possible avenue to them to succeed in their identity. The quote is continuing. This was an issue Patricia begins misgendering here. All right. So this is in the verbatim quote. The misgendering is in this quote. Quote. This was an issue that he suffered with, even though he was unlike many of the teens who get no support and who don't have anybody helping them. He had everything, end quote. So, like, this nigga talking about you were never bullied, but how much were you, because if you're misgendering the little homie dead now, like, how much were you doing that in the house, talking about wasn't bullied? You were very comfortable misgendering, like, that shit's already traumatizing enough. And your so-called support is pure, raw, uncut bullshit from what I'm reading here. Continuing with the article from pinknews.co.uk. It's not clear why Patricia switches between using female and male pronouns for Hope. Hope excelled at her school in Tampa, Florida, where she was an honor roll student. She was passionate about performing arts and performed for over 7 years in her local musical theater group. The Mad Hatter from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland was her favorite part she ever played. Yeah, and at the end, they have a little information here. It says, suicide is preventable. Readers who are affected by the issues raised in this story are encouraged to contact Samaritans on the, on 116123 at samaritans.org or Mind on 0300-123-3393, www.mind.org.uk. And readers in the U.S. are encouraged to contact the National Suicide Prevention Line on 1-800-273-8255.
This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on the show. When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
All right. Now, shit like this, right? It's the goofy. It is the absurd. But it's also why we have what the homeboy over at Actify called an exhaustive trigger warning at the beginning of the program. All right. You're going to get your rape culture, hardcore fucking misogyny. This is a Oklahoma governor candidate, Dan Fisher, spelled the same as Brian Fisher, that with the F-I-S-C-H-E-R, Dan Fisher, running for governor in Oklahoma, and he's on Coach Dave's show, that fucker on YouTube that has like a fake baseball stadium behind his shit. His name's Dave Dobenmeyer. And he is a jack-knuckled fuckstick to the core. Now, the candidate for governor, Dan Fisher, he's on the telephone audio, all right? Now, let's, I'm going to push it forward a little bit. I'm going to start it out at 25 seconds. Now, what they're start out talking about is a 15-week abortion ban and why that doesn't go far enough, all right?
Right. I guess it gets killed. And if you, yeah. So, you know, I just got to the concentration camp here at Auschwitz.
All right. Now, he's comparing being in the womb to being in a concentration camp in Auschwitz because babies are Jews. I don't know if you knew this. Like, I mean, you got all these scientists with their research telling you that. I mean, as far in the context of a gender binary, we all start out as girls. Wrong. We all start out as Jews. All right. Let's see where this goes.
Oh, you're killing all the ones that got here yesterday. Whew.
All right. So he's saying, you know, in his Jewish baby metaphor, you show up at the concentration camp and you're like, hey, okay, they're killing all the ones that got here yesterday. But then what, Dan?
Wow, I'm safe for today. Oh, wait, tomorrow I'll be the one who got here yesterday. I mean, it's just nonsense. What you do is you shut the dadgum camp down.
All right, you shut the dadgum camp down, which that's one of the places, like, if I were to take his silly-ass metaphor all the way far, it's like basically you're saying tie tubes and don't breed anymore. Like, if the womb is Auschwitz, for all of us little baby Jews out there, all the just little Hebrew babies, just lighting up menorahs on her ovaries right now.
So my response would be, okay, so if you're 14 weeks, well, you're a dead duck. But if you happen to make it to 15, you're kind of home free. Now, I got to applaud the fact that they feel like they're stepping out and breaking new ground. I mean, that nobody's ever said, you know, 15 weeks and on or 15 weeks before. So, because it's always 20 weeks. But my point is, even though I applaud their effort in that they're trying to do this, why is it that we won't incrementally end rape?
All right. So, next metaphor. Rape, incrementally ending rape. So now the metaphor is based on it, the time deal and like what's legal, illegal. So he's talking about incrementally ending rape. I guess he's fighting rape culture. Let's hear. Go ahead, Dan, running for governor in Oklahoma.
here's the deal. You know, if the person's 20 or younger, you know, rape them all you want. But
all right, person's 20 or younger, rape. This is the incremental ending of rape. 20 or younger, rape them all you want.
If they're 20 after, well, you can't rape them. And then next year we'll say, well, you can't rape anybody after they're 19. So we'll just start working our way down, you know.
Well, they have to show the woman a video
for that.
Like somehow he went from baby Jews. All right, this is he's talking out loud. It's not even like this is him just scribbling down daydreams he has when he's, you know, knocked back a couple of shots to the face of his favorite bourbon. Like, he's soberly talking on a YouTube, maybe radio show. And this is, like, where the conversation is taking him. 15-week abortion ban takes him to baby Jews getting slaughtered in vagina schwitz to fucking to pedophile rape ending rape. Okay. Like, this is why it's hard to cover right-wingers after a while. Because it's just like, what the fuck? All right.
Got to show the woman the video of a rape, right, Dan? Show the video of a rape.
Okay, so now the metaphor has gone into rape porn. Because I get what they're doing, too. I understand it. Like, it's nonsense. Oh, I'm dancing around the ableist language here. But they're saying, like, they force you to see the, it's not sonogram. What's the word? Ultrasound. Why the fuck am I thinking sonic? Phoenix leaders, huh? Oh, sonogram is another word for ultrasound. All right. Check me out. Phoenix leaders in the background helping with my vocabulary. All right. So they're saying it forced you to see the ultrasound. So now they're saying force you to see a video of a rape. To end rape, I'm gonna give it a little bit of a head start here.
The woman a video for that. Got to show the woman the video of a rape, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to show the rapist a video of a rape. So basically, show him his favorite porn, and that's gonna demotivate. Hey, let's keep going.
If she'll even look at it, I mean, you know, yeah. this we wouldn't do this in any other world. Except here, this is insane. We all know it's insane, but see those folks in Mississippi have bought into the idea. Well, let's see if the courts will allow us to save babies after 15 weeks. Maybe they'll be at a weakened moment and they'll say, "Oh, okay."
So you realize what's happening here? This Southern. Right-wing white man is critiquing Mississippi lawmakers from the right to call them ignorant for not being right-wing enough. This is where it's gone. I get why John Stewart quit. That nigga wasn't ready to quit. Shit, he was in his prime. People liked him. He had a full head of hair. But you can't keep covering right-wingers. Like, The Daily Show started out just making fun of all politicians. Then it just turns into fucking... Especially after George Bush and his ass got in. It just becomes... What the fuck are they saying?
You can let them live after 15 weeks, but you gotta let them die before that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Dan, listen. This is the greatest evil in the history of the United States of America.
Bam! The greatest evil. Not all that shit on the plantations that Wakanda ignored, but this is the greatest evil. All right, let me see. I'm not going to stop there. I'm not going to segment this out. We're going to keep this going. I'm on the website Right Wing Watch, just sort of checking them out, seeing what's going on with these folks. I've never heard of this individual. Maybe I have. Andy Worski. Phoenix Cleater in the background. You know Andy Worski? Not off the top. Phoenix Cleater said, not off the top of my head. All right. So, Andy Worski is a YouTube personality and has risen to notoriety for catering to white supremacists. Bragged in a live stream. Oh, welcome to it. This is why we have what the homeboy at Actify called an exhaustive trigger warning.
This is the story I was telling. The condom was too tight, like it was hurting my dick, and she was drunk. So during the sex, I pulled my dick out.
Maybe you're just in the wrong hole.
So fuck your informed consent. Take the condom off and don't tell her.
No, I pulled the condom off. No, it was like... I didn't get the proper fucking Trojan ones I used to get. It was some random gas station ones that were so tight. I'm like, this is like Asian fit.
He said it's like Asian fit. All right. Like, again, like, how do you cover this shit? Like, this shit is ridiculous. This is why, like, if you go back like 3 years in the wine cellar, I used to cover shit like this all the time. But after a while, you're just like, oh, it's the... This again, and there's so many of them because anybody
that, you know, can get their hands on, you know what, $250, $300, get a little cheapo laptop. There's a built-in microphone, a built-in camera. You can jump on free fucking Wi-Fi on your college campus, sit on the bench outside of McDonald's, free fucking Wi-Fi, you know, sit on the bench outside of fucking Starbucks and get on here and run your fucking mouth, put on a fucking clickbaity head title, and suddenly you're a YouTube personality.
Yeah, it was like Asian Fit or something.
Well, so I rolled it up.
Yeah, and then I fuck her without the condom on. But I was hammered. Like, I pulled it off, and she was mad at me after. She's like, what the fuck? You pulled off the condom? And fuck. Yeah, sorry. But I pulled out and everything. And then I was like, next day, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? And I went to the fucking walking clinic.
And so, he just essentially bragged about rape on there. But then again, who's surprised? Like, is anybody surprised? This is just what the fuck they are, man. Which is why, I mean, wouldn't you rather just kill them? Like, why have this one roaming around? Because it's still out there. This individual, Andy Worski, is still out there. Probably raping right now. What, 10:31 a.m. Sunday, March 25th, 2018. Wouldn't be surprised if Andy Worski is raping somebody right the fuck now, because he is a rapist and he just told you he is. How do you cover this shit? And Phoenix Cleaters in the background said his Patreon is 500 doll hairs a mism. All right, now let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. So, Jesus Christ, Trayvon Martin, that was, that was 2011 and 12?
I believe so.
That's a tough one to really remember, right? I think it was 2012, February 2012. I'm doing this off the top of the head. No Yahoo search. No Bing. I'm not asking Jeeves. 2012 was the murder in February on a rainy night. I literally remember that night because I was coming home from work that night and I remember that rain. You should have on a hood.
Yeah.
That was a rainy fucking night. And in Florida, like, that's not storm season. That's cold fucking rain. February is like one of Florida's coldest fucking months. Like, just going off, there's probably some science chart that's like, but actually by 5%, you go fuck yourself. I lived there. It was cold. And he should have on a hooded sweatshirt. And he's, you know, and then, but George Zimmerman, and this is something I haven't talked about George Zimmerman on the podcast in such a long fucking time. And there's probably completely new listeners, totally flip-flopped over. I always see it as George Zimmerman is a gangsta. Like, the shit that he was doing, you can hear in a fucking song. What was George Zimmerman doing? Creeping through the block, packing a strap, what, head shaved bald, looking for some niggas slipping. And that's when he ran up on some niggas slipping on some nigga, what set you from? You ain't supposed to be here, and I'm not giving you a pass, homie. That was some gangster shit. Zimmerman is a fucking gang member. All right. And now, 2013? Was it July? Somewhere where, basically the prosecutor deliberately threw the case in the name of white supremacy. Because Angela Corey, right? That was her name.
Yeah, and then the only, person of color on the jury is like, well, I've tried really hard, but they got the best of me, and now I feel bad that he's acquitted forever. Yeah, you feel fucking bad. Okay, feel bad then.
Yeah, and then they really shitted on the the girl that he was talking to on the telephone.
Yeah, I just couldn't understand her words.
English is her third language, fuckface. Her first language is French, then Spanish, then English.
But that's the thing, though, is they said they couldn't understand. It wasn't because there was a problem with the English. It was because she was using a lot of AAVE. Like, if she was white and had that same, like, French accent, they would have been, oh, it's so charming. She's bilingual. She's so smart and well-spoken. I mean, look at the way that they talk about Melania.
Well, and they understand it. They watch the Real Hip Hop House of Whoville, or whatever the fuck. The Real Hip Hop House of Whoville. I'd watch that show.
Watch that show too.
Man. They have a T.I. album. They have a Jay-Z album. They have a Beyonce Knowles album. They have like three Snoop albums. Are you shitting me? They had, when they were growing up, because remember, like, fucking, like, mid-80s to 90s kids are the adults now.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, you know you grew up watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when the episodes were new. You fucking know. Alright? You bang nothing but a G-thing. You love that shit. Alright? So, yeah, they understood. They're just liars.
Yeah.
And, so now we're in 2018. And of course, all the shit happened in between. George Zimmerman pulling shotguns on niggas, he stabbed an iPad.
Yeah.
Stabbed an iPad on the table. Threw a woman out of the house and then called the cops on her.
Right.
So that he could, and you see, because his father's a judge, so he knows the game.
Right.
To get his voice on record, recorded, established, getting his side of the story in. All right, yeah.
I just gotta wonder who would date him, because he had issues with his wife then, and then someone he was dating after the fact. Like, who was getting with this man? He's literally a homicidal, he's like a serial killer. Basically, he wants to kill people.
A white supremacist woman that likes seeing nigger boys killed. Yep. And so now we're in 2018, and the handgun used to kill Trayvon Martin in 2012, okay, got it, has been sold for $250,000 US, and that would be $172,000 in pounds. The gun was put up for auction by George Zimmerman, who fired the shot but was acquitted of Trayvon's murder. U.S. media said Mr. Zimmerman had backed out of the deal for $150,000 to take the higher price. The killing was instrumental in launching the national Black Lives Matter social movement. That is true. That was the first time that hashtag appeared, was that night that that Angela Corey deliberately threw the case in the name of white supremacy. The sale of the gun drew criticism from those saying that Mr. Zimmerman, I think 32 years old at the time, was seeking to profit from the killing. Gun rights advocates say he was exercising his legal right under U.S. law. There were hoax bidders. The site that hosted the auction, UnitedGunGroup.com, on Saturday confirmed that the amount the Kel-Tec PF9 9mm pistol had fetched, according to AFP news agency, the pistol sells new for about $350. The Florida neighborhood watchman, self-appointed, they left that out, self-appointed head of the neighborhood watch, actually, had himself told the KTNV station he was accepting the sum. Denny Honeycutt, a Florida bar owner who said he had agreed to a price of $150,000, told the Daytona Beach News Journal that Mr. Zimmerman had reneged on the deal. He said, quote, I thought he was a man of his word, end quote. He said the buyer was a woman who had wanted the gun as a birthday present for her son.
Oh, so he can go kill somebody. Okay. But now I wonder if that bartender or whoever is going to sue him for, like, a breach of contract or something. Can he do that? I don't know. I just want to see George Zimmerman have problems.
If they have it in writing. But Mr. Zimmerman said he would not reveal the buyer's identity, adding, quote, the winning bidder will ultimately decide if they want their information to be maintained in confidentiality, end quote. UnitedGunGroup.com hosted the auction after another site, Gun Broker, backed out, saying it wanted no part in the listing. Mr. Zimmerman called Gun Broker Nazi-loving liberal liars.
Okay,
so Zimmerman called them that. That was a weird sentence to read out loud. The auction initially attracted hoax buyers with bids as high as $65 million and bidders with names such as Racist McShootface. Okay.
All right.
where did I left off at Racist McShootface? Damn, what the fuck? Mr. Zimmerman said some of the proceeds would serve to fight Black Lives Matter violence against law enforcement officers. Who rejected you? You were so shitty you couldn't be a cop.
But also, what violence is that? That's such a popular phrase, and yet nobody has receipts of Black Lives Matter doing anything to cops.
Well, none that are authentic. They have lies. Like the one, the guy in Texas, the night that I moved here, that I got on the plane, the guy in Texas, but he actually had a manifesto written up that he's not down with Black Lives Matter. He doesn't like them, and Black Lives Matter said they rejected him.
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, that was the whole thing. He was like, they're not hard enough for me.
And they're not. The Trayvon Martin family lawyer Benjamin Crump told Fox News the sale was offensive, outrageous, and insulting. Those were in quotes. Trayvon Martin was walking home from a shop in Sanford, Florida in February 2012 when there was an altercation when he was stalked by a gangster, Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman said he had fired in self-defense because he's a liar. He was charged and acquitted with second-degree murder and manslaughter, a case which was deliberately thrown by Angela Corey in the name of white supremacy. Because, like, leading up to that, her big bragging thing was her conviction rate. She was all about, I convict, I convict, I convict.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow couldn't get this one.
And then isn't that the same prosecutor that had the Marissa Alexander case?
Yep.
Yeah, where Marissa Alexander fired a warning shot for her safety to stand her ground. And she was like, I think that should be like 40 years in prison.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. It was an outrageous sentence for something that only left a hole in drywall.
And they fucking, remember what they allowed in court? That fucking, that block of concrete.
Yeah.
So they could bring it up to the jury and argue that this was a weapon.
Right. Yeah.
Which really throws the fucking context because, skinny ass little 17-year-old Trayvon. Like, let's assume a block of concrete was detached from the rest of the concrete. Old narrow behind ass Trey was going to pick that up and bash a motherfucker with it.
He was going to Hulk out at any moment.
I seen the pictures of that little ass boy. And I'm talking about the recent ones, not the ones when he was 14 or 12. He was a narrow ass 17-year-old boy. And even though I have my critiques of motherfuckers, but I remember Whitey Ford had to check Joe Rogan on that shit because Joe Rogan's a white supremacist, and Joe Rogan had Whitey Ford on their Everlast, the guy from House of Pain rapper, and now he does folksy shit, and Rogan was like. And, you know, he's, you know, and I think he was like 6 feet, you know, kind of a thug guy. And he's like, what are you talking about, Joe? Look in his eyes. That's a baby, man. I know a baby when I see one.
Right.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan's a white supremacist, so he can't help it. That's just how and what he is. All right. WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And we had a little fun just closing out Googling Phoenix Collider and 10 pages of fun results to see. And I think my favorite ones that stand out, a website called Circa.com used one of her tweets as part of their article. Because you know how articles nowadays embed tweets to say, and this is what people are saying about it. They embedded Phoenix Collider for the hashtag Nia Green. Folks remember that child abuse on Facebook video. And also her hashtag Nia Green comment on the goodhousekeeping.com. Fucking Good Housekeeping. And then the Daily Dot used her for their article about things only women writers hear. And then Phoenix Cleader had that what women of color writers hear.
Yes.
And she used W-O-C. Yeah, man. So that's dope. And then there's just all sorts of joints where people like quoting her. People like quoting Phoenix Cleader a fucking lot on their websites. They're just like, this person, Phoenix Cleader, said this. And it's, you should agree with it. Because she said it. And, like, she yes. says things.
Yes.
This shit's dope, man. I like, we're, you know what? Like, maybe 6 months from now, we'll Google you again. Yeah, and
honestly, it went better than I thought it was going to. Because you never know what's going to happen when you Google yourself. Because a lot of niggas like to talk a lot of shit on the internet.
There was that one.
There was that one.
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
I might make a podcast segment about it because it's funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Like, they don't, like, I think that's what they're mad at, is that we made fun of them.
Right.
That's what, because, like, what we do the same shit, what we did with you is the same shit we do on over an Alex Jones clip or any other fucking clip we cover. You just didn't like it that it was you that time. But you like my style, nigga. That's why you still listen, boy. You fucking rapist.
They're haters. For real haters.
Actual factual haters. Like, legitimate actual haters. It's weird. I've never had haters before.
You know what? It's because he wants to be you.
Yeah.
Like, you're funny, you're charismatic, you're good looking, you're not in social justice to get laid. It's like, oh, but I thought they were all fake. And then here you are. And it's like, oh, making them look bad.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, young man, you figure it out. You figure yourself out and quit grabbing on other cats' coattails. Like, fucking spread your own wings, little nigga. Or just get a job and stop trying to be a content creator.
Probably, I mean, that part.
Hell, yeah. Like, I have a regular job, too, you know? But, like, fucking... But you should let the content creating go. You're very bad at it. Because when we Googled Phoenix Cleater's name, we saw your post, and we just laughed at it. And it had 353 views. It had zero comments. It had zero ratings. And the button below it said, hey, be the first to share this. Because you're not interesting. All right? You're just fucking not. You're not interesting. Yeah. All right. I'm going to say the same thing over and over again, right?
Yeah. Just stop trying to be a content creator. It's not your calling.
No.
I don't know what your calling is, but it's not this.
Yeah, maybe revive the Urkel character. But you know what? No, because Jaleel White was an awesome actor. You can't do that either. You actually can't do anything. So just don't. Go outside and sit down and stay there. Have a good one.